The genesis of this project, this DVD and this CD and this multimedia concert, which is sort of the other aspect of this project, was actually back when I was a kid. My father is in the Philadelphia Orchestra. My mother is also a musician. She's a violist. And I went to concerts all the time as a kid. And, you know, I practiced a lot and I loved my violin. And I thought concerts were kind of boring. And so as I got older, I was really interested in ways of kind of revitalizing or reinventing the classical music concert experience.
Yeah, sure.
My teacher in high school was Suvin Kim, who's now actually on faculty at NEC.
Right, right.
I studied with him privately in New York City. And at the time that I was studying with him, he had just released this recording of all 24 Paganini Caprices. And it's an amazing recording. And the way he plays these pieces and the way he taught them to me was as real music, which is so rare. Everyone thinks Paganini and thinks showy and virtuosic and kind of fluffy, that there's no musical substance.
Yeah, flash.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I learned these pieces as these wonderful little vignettes of true music. And so when I got to NEC, I wanted to find a way to convince my friends that Paganini was beautiful. And so it sort of seemed like this perfect opportunity to marry these two missions of like championing Paganini and finding a new way to approach classical music concerts.
So I promise
we're getting back to Chicago.
No, but I see how it's coming together. Yeah. This is great.
So I made a multimedia recital project in my junior year centered around the 24 Paganini Caprices. And it was a really big hit at school. And it's worth saying that, like, a recital at NEC, it's easy to think of it as, like, oh, just another college recital. But NEC is such a world-class institution that if something makes a splash at NEC, it's probably actually pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
So this project was very successful, and I got such great feedback from all my teachers and from friends and people sort of in the Boston musical community. And so I kind of thought, okay, I have something here. But Paganini is really, really hard.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I wanted to do something else, and I wanted to find some other repertoire that I could champion in that way. And the Bach Chaconne is one of those pieces for me. I think it's a piece that a lot of people feel that they're supposed to love, but it's kind of daunting. It's a long piece. It's about 14 or 15 minutes long. And I think it can be kind of hard for people to find a way in because in a certain sense, it is repetitive. On the other hand, what I love about this music is the genius of Bach and all the different ways he can use those simple four notes. So I wanted to create a project like my Paganini project that traced the development of this chaconne form from before Bach, because Bach didn't make it up, which as an 18-year-old, I didn't know. I thought that was really interesting, and I wanted to explain that to people. So. Yeah. I started before Bach, and then Bach's chaconne really changed classical music, but especially solo violin music forever. And so I wanted to examine how classical music changed after Bach and how solo violin music changed. So,
sure.
So the program goes from, let's see, I think about 1675 to 1976.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's the thing, is that the four pieces that you chose to sort of track the idea and the development of chaconne, kind of not only, they don't only sort of expose the idea of the music, they kind of get at the time in which they're written, which is a really cool part of this, right? That the same idea is sort of refracted in a way through its own time. And that made me wonder as well, there's Bieber and then Bach and then Bartok and Berio, and there's a long gap between Bach and Bartok in time. And so was there a gap in composers' fascination with this, or was it more of these are the ones that you chose to best represent what you wanted to do?
I think composers after Bach felt that the chaconne was untouchable, that sort of the ideal had already been achieved.
That long shadow of a great composer
exactly.
that happens. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 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 It can be intimidating for composers.
Right. Because, yeah. I mean, what the Chaconne before Bach, or at least the very beginnings of the Chaconne form, were actually totally different from what we think of with the Bach Chaconne. That the original Chaconne was fast and bawdy. It often had kind of sexy words. It was a totally different thing. And then Monteverdi is credited with combining this repeating bass line with the lament bass line, which is the descending scale. And today, that's what we think of as a chaconne. And so I think that's what composers after Bach felt they had to do. And yet Bach had kind of blown everybody out of the water. There was no way to top that.
Right.
So I think after Bach, there were composers like Paganini and Yzai and lots of very virtuosic writing for solo violin. And it wasn't until Bartok that someone took on that kind of emotional density.
Right, right. Yeah. And by the way, the story you tell about the what happened before Bieber, you know, with Monteverdi and all that. I mean, the little animations that your DVD uses to illustrate, they're just terrific. They're cute and yet totally understandable and witty, and it just tells that story. It is something that goes beyond what the music is doing into how this is kind of running through a culture, which is really cool. How much did you have to, you know, do pure historical research to sort of figure all this out and how to tell the story?
So I did a lot of research.
Yeah.
The first iteration of this Chaconne project I actually did as my master's recital at NEC.
Okay.
So I spent a full year researching Chaconnes at that point. And then I had this amazing opportunity through the Lenore Annenberg Arts Fellowship Fund to kind of revamp this project and bring it to a larger audience. So when that opportunity came, I redid a bunch of my research and wrote a whole new script. So there's many layers of research. I worked with musicologists and scholars, and I was so, so grateful to have a lot of academic support.
Sure.
So hopefully it is, you know, it's, I want it to feel like grown-up story time.
That's a nice way to put it, yeah.
That I want this to be educational and fun and informative and a way into these pieces that might otherwise feel a little bit daunting by themselves.